Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
It's Tapes and Scouts time, girl.
Ooh.
Tapes and Scouts time, girl.
Looking good, girl.
Girl, I know you want to talk about all the tapes and scowl.
Certainly, they're certainly scowling. There's no doubt.
No, girl, you love it. Tell me you love it. Tell me, damn it.
I love it.
Oh, thank you, girl. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think I met your scary mother on a phone call once.
For the devil?
It was the devil.
Okay.
Oh, well.
All right, bye.
Bye.
You sound cute. All right, everybody. These intros just get so damn weird.
They do. They do. But you did reference one of Jared's favorite moments.
Oh,
when you did the voice of the devil.
I did the. You did the devil. I was the woman. That's what it was. Yeah.
Hello.
I'm just a weird one.
Yeah, he loves that as one of his favorite things.
That one was for you, Jared.
And we should probably, because you were given shout-outs for babies, we should give a shout-out to Paul.
That's right, Baby Paul.
Baby Paul, Clover baby. May.
Good name.
Good name.
I like that. That's
fun. It's a good name, yeah.
Yeah. Well, beautiful children popping up all around. Beautiful children.
And we all know why that happened. Don't we, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Keep it in pants.
No, I think they set out to do that. Anyways.
Yes, I would hope so.
Whoopsie.
Oops.
This episode's brought to you by Team Ashen. Everybody loves Team Ashen. They do cosplay and they make stuff. And I do new comic book day reviews with Paul on Wednesdays.
Yes, you do.
And I'm usually very mean to Paul. And people love that.
Do they?
Yeah, they're like, God, you're just such... I'm the only one who gets negative comments because Paul's so delightful. But they're like, that guy's a douche. I hate that guy. And I just feed off of that.
That's so pretty great. So I'm glad the audience gets in this show, not me.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm too emotionally... like, just, not stable for that.
No, you can't take the heat from these dick wads, huh? Whoa.
Yeah, no, can't handle it.
Bait. I'm going to go first because this isn't going to be a great episode for me.
Oh, boy.
Well, the first one's okay. Let's talk about it. My first movie is from 2014. It's called Dark Was the Night.
Okay.
This is not the 2018 Marissa Tomei movie of the same name, which a lot of people seem to dig. There's any of that.
You reviewed that movie.
Did I?
I think you did. Did you not? There's a mystery movie about a woman who couldn't remember things.
No, that was Denica.
Mm.
Damn it.
Marissa Tomei in that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, at least that part's right.
All
right,
good.
I was debating watching this movie and just doing them back to back.
Interesting.
But then I was like, as fun as that would be for me, no one's going to remember which Dark Was the Night was the good one. Anyways, I watched this surely at one day. Your IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 30 minutes. Perfect.
Perfect. Love that.
More people need to be doing that. Your genre, drama, horror, thriller, directed by Jack Heller.
Hmm.
Starring Kevin Durand, Lucas Haas. And Bianca, oh boy, did my pen bleed together. That's her nickname. Kajulich.
Hi, Bianca.
Hey, Bianca. Ow. All right, so.
I'm a fucking wreck today.
You are.
Your IMDb.
But it's a beautiful tragedy, Tim.
Ah, yes. Your IMDb movie summary, an evil is unleashed in a small town when a logging company sets up shop in the neighboring woods.
Hmm.
Sounds fairly generic.
It does, very.
But,
you didn't write this one.
I didn't. No, I would have probably wrote the same thing, though. This is the type of movie where you know there's a monster, but you don't see it for most of the movie.
Okay.
Which I do appreciate.
Agreed.
My bullet points. Not Marissa Tomei movie. Get that out of your head. I know we love Marissa Tomei. I love Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei, Jerry.
Marissa Tomei!
Yeah.
But this is not that. We'll get there one day.
One day.
I enjoyed a realistic reason for the creature to have remained hidden and why it attacks now.
Oh, interesting.
It is, I'm trying to think how to talk about it without giving it away. It was actually very nature-themed and science-themed where this is like the pattern of this creature and it makes perfect sense that nobody really would have heard about it until now.
Cool.
Which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Better acting in a middle-of-the-road plot.
Gotcha.
And a really fun little note I found out today writing this up, doing this write-up, is it's based on a real legend.
Huh.
That originated in 19th century England.
Oh, cool.
So there's a thing that will happen in the middle of the movie. You'll know it. And it's kind of like footprints everywhere.
Oh, neat.
And they don't make sense for a normal animal.
Okay.
That's what was lifted from 19th century England.
Okay. Interesting.
It's pretty good.
That's cool.
This movie is okay. It's not going to set the world on fire. I kind of predicted the ending. I'm like, I bet it's something like this. And even though I did predict it correctly, I still kind of enjoyed watching it.
Right.
So it's a fun cop versus monster movie. That's essentially sure. what you're having here. It's okay. It's so hard for me to be like, yeah, go watch this, because...
It's not a biocop versus monster film.
It's... Wow. Let's get on that. I know directors now. Let's do this.
That's right. Biocop.
Biocop needs to happen, people.
Biocop.
Why won't you kill me?
So, man. That's your next goal.
To get Biocop full length made?
Not that. Just fine. We got to interview those folks. I've been pushing for that for a minute. They're Canadian. They're up your alley.
They're up my alley. Well, I've been trying to get away from Canadians. That's why we talked to that fine chap from New Zealand.
Yeah, but you weren't supposed to say that on the podcast.
Oh, right. Because Canada listens to this. What's that over there?
Sorry.
Ooh, that was weirder than I thought it was going to be. Anyways, let's get off of this movie. IMDb score 5.6. Your Rotten Tomato critics gave it 52%. The audience gave it 35%. And I gave it a 6.0. It's a very well done film that isn't super interesting.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got something that's completely different than that.
Oh, thank God.
Because I have 1987's The Princess Bride.
Whoa, you made a crazy face.
Yeah. That's how excited I am about this movie.
This is Cliff's favorite movie.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Of all time?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
That's number two.
Ah, I see. Damn it, Cliff. So I watched this in March. It is 1 hour and 38 minutes. It is a fantasy romance movie. It was directed by one of my favorite directors of all time, Rob Reiner.
Mm-hmm. Good guy.
Yes, starring Cary Elwes, Robin Wright, and Chris Sarandon, amongst a million other fantastic actors. Mandy Patinkin, Andre the Giant, Wallace Shawn is in this movie. It is just fantastic. Billy Crystal pops up in there.
The Andre stuff is wild. After watching that HBO documentary about yeah. just how in pain he was filming this movie,
yeah,
it's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just infinite people. The cast is phenomenal. The summary of this film is, while homesick in bed, a young boy's grandfather reads him the story of a farm boy turned pirate who encounters numerous obstacles, enemies, and allies in his quest to be reunited with his true love.
That's a very nice write-up.
It is. My thoughts on this movie is kind of, if there were a movie that I could ascribe to the adjective lovely, it would be The Princess Bride.
Aww.
This movie is wonderful. It's sweet. It's earnest. It's kind. It's
Wait,
funny.
Wait, Ernest shows up?
Not. Oh. Sorry, Vern.
Oh.
It's just kind of does everything. It checks all the boxes. The fight scenes are super well core. Everything the movie sets out to do, it does well. Visually, it's interesting, but it feels like a fairy tale. It just, it's so heartwarming. It's just, it feels good. It's like hot chocolate cinema. It's so nice. It's just, I mean, there's nothing you can say. If anybody says anything bad about this movie,
I'll punch them.
I will just, they can prepare to die.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
IMDb, 8.1 out of 10.
Nice.
For IMDb.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 77 critics went back and reviewed this, 97%.
Wow, nice.
Audience score, 527,591 people. Only one of them was Cliff, and it still has a 94%
wow.
audience rating.
I love it.
I gave this a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so good.
I will also punch anybody who argues with that score. I think that score is right.
Yeah, it's just, it's fantastic. It's just, it's beautiful.
Did you seek this out because we were in full pandemic mode and you're like, I need a happy...
I actually seek this out as the second movie I watched with Sam
okay.
when we started dating.
Ah.
And it was Scott Pilgrim, and then this was the double feature.
Nice.
And I was like, how have you not seen Princess Bride? It's fantastic. And then... Now, I mean, like all the mask memes that have come out because of Princess Bride and all that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like now she just gets it on. So every time I see a meme, a Princess Bride meme, she gets it.
That's great.
Yep. Like I send this to you now. That's your that's your life. Sorry,
it's your
Sam.
It's your lot in life. Hi, Sam. Well, I'm going to do a thing that nobody really willingly would do.
Because
this movie is known to not be super good.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things you just feel like you got to do once in life.
Oh, boy.
1974.
Zardoz.
Max, show me what you got.
Show me what you've got.
My favorite
Sean Connery in red underpants.
That's what everyone remembers, and really, it is the most memorable part.
I see.
My favorite thing I wrote on here is I watched this way too early in the morning for this bullshit. Is what I wrote. IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 45 minutes. Genre: adventure, fantasy, sci-fi. It is adventure, very adventury.
Zardoz.
Directed by John Borman.
Love John Borman.
John Borman, good.
Yeah.
Starring Sean Connery, Charlotte Rampling, and Sarah Kestelman.
Zardoz.
IMDb.
Zardoz.
Summary. In the distant future, a savage, trained only to kill, finds a way into the community of bored immortals. That alone preserve humanity's achievements. Pretty accurate, pretty boring, isn't it?
It is pretty boring.
This is a thinky, but like it doesn't mean it's good.
Yes.
This is, of course, the Rick and Morty we're talking about. Rick and Morty parodied this with the Show Me What You Got and the floating heads and everything. Mm-hmm. They parodied it pretty well. So if you watched Rick and Morty and you said, I bet that I got to see that movie, that don't. You got everything you need. There's a
watch
floating
a different
head.
John Borman movie.
Yeah. Borman was producer on Deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
So he is capable of so much better.
Way better.
Again, Sean Connery's red getup is what this is largely known for.
Yep.
It has some deep thoughts, a boring pace, and just a handful of shock moments. Would be a better book, I'd imagine. This feels like a book.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a book, but it needs to be a book.
Okay.
Where you can iron out all your bullshit and not make it so damn boring.
Right. You can actually ponder the things the movie's trying to ponder.
Right, with some inner dialogue.
Yep.
Would be great. If you like big thought piece movies,
watch a different one.
Watch another one. This one, not so much fun. There is a scene, and I think it's in the trailer. I could be wrong.
Zardoz.
Where Sean Connery, in that getup, which leaves nothing to the imagination and does not protect him at all.
Nope.
He like runs and falls down like a hill, and it just looks so incredibly painful.
Yeah.
He just gets up and keeps going. I'm like, Sean Connery, best actor ever.
Yeah, I won't disagree.
Yeah, Zardoz. Praise be, Lord Zardoz. IMDb. You want to guess what IMDb gave this?
5.8.
5.9.
Damn.
So close. You got it. I'm giving you that.
But I went over. I violated Price is Right rules.
No, you were under 5.8. You said 5.8.
Oh, did I? Okay.
No,
sweet. All right, now I'm right in there then.
Ding, ding, ding. You're going to play Plinko.
Give me that camper.
That's right. It is from the 80s, though.
Yeah.
Sorry. Rotten Tomato critical score, 45% out of 33 critics. Makes me wonder why 33 critics would go back and rate this movie. Just doesn't add up.
Zardoz.
When they explain what Zardoz is, that was one thing I actually enjoyed.
Yeah.
But that was about it. The audience gave it 54% out of nearly 9,000 people. I gave it a 3.5. It's a boring slogfest.
Snordaz. So I have a movie.
Thank God.
A little less boring.
Oh, good.
It is 2003's remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
I watched this in March.
I thought you were going to say my underwear.
I did not. That was not Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh.
That was Slumber Party Massacre. I was like, what's another movie with massacre in it?
You're the expert.
The Driller Killer.
Ah.
That's not. What's the one? I forget. Is it Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers? That is, like, the tagline is you don't have to go to Texas for a chainsaw massacre. I think it's...
That's pretty awesome, actually.
Yep. I've seen a lot of bad movies.
I'm trying to compete with you, apparently.
Yeah. It might outdo me by the end of this podcast, lifespan, however long it ends up lasting.
Eventually, I got to watch a good one, right?
I think you have. You've watched Black Dynamite.
That's true.
And Manborg.
Ah, yes, Manborg.
And more recently, Killer Sofa.
That's right. The best sofa.
That's right. The best sofa, a recliner.
That's right.
So this is 1 hour and 53 minutes. It is a horror movie. It was directed by Marcus Nispel. It's got Jessica Biel, Jonathan Tucker, and Arlie Ermey in it. Your summary of this movie is, after picking up a traumatized hitchhiker, five friends find themselves stalked and hunted by a deranged chainsaw-wielding maniac and his family of equally psychopathic killers.
Yep.
So my thoughts on this movie, I'm not going to talk about the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's
perhaps because I'm going to talk about that in the next episode.
Oh, all right.
So I'm not going to say anything about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Still difficult, directly. I'd imagine.
So I like what they did with the hitchhiker scene in the beginning.
Yes.
If you're not familiar with it, you should watch. If you just watch, if you're done with the movie after the hitchhiker scene, that's fine. The hitchhiker scene is really awesome and really surprising how they did that particular effect, the way it was shot. If you're not familiar, they brought back the original director of photography from the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Daniel Pearl, for this movie. Marcus Nispel is a big music video guy, and Daniel Pearl is a big music video DP, and they brought him back to work on this movie, which was really cool. From a visual standpoint, this movie is an excellent way to bring back Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They did something called a bleach bypass when they did this film, which means that normally you bleach the film, the actual negative of the film, to get the colors nice and rich.
Okay.
And you get, you know, you deepen, you soften your whites, you get everything nice and kind of, you get that very movie-like quality to it. They're like, nope, we're going to leave everything muted and gross and kind of like has this disgusting color palette. When they were doing the visuals for it, it's all earth tones and like looks like rot and fecal matter. It's horrible to look at.
This one was darker than the original one.
Way darker.
Way darker. Like way a lot darker. More at night and a lot more just dark.
Raw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's definitely a lot more raw. I think Arlie Ermey does an awesome job in this movie. I think the casting's all really solid. Jessica Biel's fine. She's always kind of fine.
I just always remember she would always run to like the bottom left of the screen. Like constantly it's just like her belly's gonna be in the shot. Like,
yeah.
It just felt like that was weird.
It was really strange.
They did that a lot.
I think they wanted to get her
that?
Abdomen in the shots a lot for two big reasons.
I understand one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That.
Yep, there you go.
Those.
Yep.
So, I caught up here.
Yeah, see? But yeah, it's a solid movie overall. I think as a remake, there's enough changed that it feels like they wanted to remake it, and there's enough that is like Texas that it doesn't feel like it should have been called a whole different film. So I think it works overall for the, you know, I'll get into Texas. Spoiler
right.
alert.
I enjoyed this one when I first watched it.
Yeah, I liked it
remember,
too.
And I just remember thinking it's good and different, which is fun.
Yeah, I think it's the first movie that me and Paul ever went to. So another shout out to Paul.
Hey, Paul.
IMDb 6.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 156 of them gave this a whopping 37%. Ooh, yeah.
That's kind of shocking.
Audience gave this 400,592 audience participants gave this 58%, which I also think is a little low.
Yeah, but I think if you don't like the movie, that's way better than 38. 38 does not make sense to me.
I agree. I feel like it was a well-made movie. I give this an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I don't know if I'd go 8, but I do think it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a solid movie. It is visually, at the end of the day, it's like one of the original slasher movies. Like it's one of the, you know, not the original, because you did have like Black Christmas, which is a predecessor to Halloween that all came out before this, but it is definitely one of the pinnacle and flagship slasher movies. There's not a whole lot going on here. Like, okay, there's some cliche moments where he was going to propose to her, but he died before he could. All right, cool. I get it. But at the same time, if that's what you're coming to a movie called The Texas Chainsaw Massacre for,
right,
you fucked up.
I mean, hey, you get 2 minutes of abdomen.
Yeah.
Easily.